Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
All right, welcome back. Time to play. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776. You learned something. You learned something this weekend, and it was a long weekend, so chances are that you learned multiple things. You get one sentence to tell us what that is. I mean, if you can get two things in one sentence, all right, that's with a comma, all right, that's fine, too. But you learned something this weekend. I learned that after a year and a half of living here, that you shouldn't roll through the stop sign at Dixie Canyon and Valley Vista.
Okay. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that Jacob Misiorowski throws harder than any human that's ever lived.
Ever.
Ever.
Ever. The most 100-mile-an-hour fastballs ever.
In a game.
In a game.
54.
Holy crap.
54.
Oh. Dell, did you learn anything this weekend?
He's watching Gen V.
That show's been canceled. I did not watch any of Gen V. I learned that if you're looking for the smoke, watch a Tech versus Florida softball.
Ooh, wow. John, you didn't see it, I can tell.
But I didn't.
Jason,
they
okay.
went at it.
Hold on a second. This is the second time this has happened. It's
they
happened last
week.
They throw
at each other, don't they?
No,
heard about it.
You guys need a call right now. This is the. You guys call at 745, but all of a sudden 807 is some big mystery. 713-780-3776. You did this last week, too, and we let it slide. What did you learn this weekend, this long weekend, in one sentence? You tell us something you learned about your weekend. It could be about sports. It could be about life. It can be literally anything. 713-780-3776. If you've never called before and you go, I'm just kind of nervous, that's fine. Call. It doesn't take – you get one sentence and you're done. You don't have to worry about it. So what happened is Jason Williams – you remember White Chocolate Jason Williams?
Mm-hmm.
His daughter played at Florida. That's where he played college basketball, right? She played volleyball or softball at Florida. Then she transferred to Texas Tech because Texas Tech got that money. And she went over there, and I guess there's some hard feelings because in game one, it was a three-game set. She got hit by two pitches in game one. And then she also hit a home run in game one, blasted a home run. Then in game two, she got hit two more times, and Florida won that one. Tech won the first one, Florida won the second one. Then in game three, she got hit by another pitch, because that's what happened. Five times she was hit, and then she hit a home run and was pimping a home run. She did a bat flip in front of the Florida, dugout. Got home and, you know, got to home plate and everyone was celebrating. And afterwards, and Florida coaches were out there. The fans were yelling at each other. Parents were yelling at each other. The Florida coaches yelling into the stands. Florida wouldn't shake hands with Texas Tech after the game. And then Jason Williams ended up on the field leading a cheer. You know, he played at Florida. Instead, he's at Texas Tech leading their victory cheer at the end. So. Yeah,
it goes back to last year. Her mother went on Facebook, whatever social media, was talking about the coach had to dip into the portal during their World Series run because that's how it is now. You have to recruit for the next season, and the team felt that he quit on them and so on and so forth. It's a long-standing thing, and I did not know you could have that type of smoke in softball, but you can. But you can. And Texas Tech, because as Lance said, spend that money, they won because they – Because that's what Texas Tech do. They spend money because they want to win in sports now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Good on them. They're spending the money. Then, you know what? Well, I don't know if you deserve it. But you know what? If you spend the money, then you can't say you didn't try. They're trying at least, right? 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Dell, who we got?
Well, this guy didn't need calling out. He had been waiting. Let's go to Ocho. What have you learned?
Yeah, I learned that despite being arguably the worst team in baseball, the L.A. Angels are still top 10 in attendance.
Well, see, I just learned something. Ocho always teaches me something.
He does bring stuff.
He does. He really understands this game.
Yeah. Yep.
It's usually facts, right? It's fact-based. It's non-emotional. It's not funny. It's just, okay. I just learned something.
It didn't feel great when it was going after the Cougs players.
Well, that felt personal.
Yeah.
That felt personal.
Right. He has some, for some reason.
He went after Kingston Flemings once. That felt personal. I learned that Kingston Flemings can't shoot at all. Like, hey.
He's got a hitch in his jumper that's going to affect his status as an NBA player. Whoa. Now, all right, let's move on to Larry. Larry responded to the call. What's up, Larry? What did you learn?
I learned that the speed that Kurt Cignetti drove the pace car at Indy 500 was still a slower speed than the former Georgia and Philadelphia Eagles player Nolan drove 137 miles per hour.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but actually I do believe that. I wouldn't be driving 140 in a pace car.
Yeah, no.
For what?
The bank? That high? No.
In the embankment? For what?
No, I'm not doing that.
I'm going to crash into a wall. I'm going 90 max. No, I'm not doing that. I'm going 78.
How steep the embankment is, I'm definitely crashing into a wall. If I go 137 miles an hour, there's no chance.
What are we doing?
Yeah. No, I'm not doing that. No. We may go around the track at about 80.
Yeah, and if you want to yell at me and say, hey, soft dad, fine. All right, I'll take it.
Soft dad boy.
Yeah, that's fine. If you want to call me soft dad boy, that's fine. Let's go to John. John, what have you learned?
I learned that Everton really did not care to see West Ham get relegated.
What do you mean they didn't care to? They were hope. Oh, well, they didn't mind seeing West Ham get relegated because they didn't show up. They didn't beat Tottenham. The team didn't barely put a shot on goal. It was embarrassing. We were hoping.
Everton always embarrasses themselves.
I wanted to send Tottenham down. I wanted to see them go bye-bye. Everton needed to win. West Ham did their job. If Everton had beaten Tottenham, Tottenham would have been down in the championship. How great would that have been? Instead, West Ham, bye-bye.
See ya.
I mean, how much drama? There was all this drama in the last weekend of soccer for bad teams. Relegation is great. I've been there. It's not fun if your team is there. But
yeah,
you're like
going into the final day knowing you have to drop to a lower level.
It's like you don't exist anymore.
Yeah, you really don't. And for Tottenham to have to deal with that, what could have been? Like, they were celebrating like they won a title.
I celebrated in London when Everton won a match. It kept us out of it. I happened to be in London, and I was at a bar and with Everton fans, and it was literally like you had won a championship, just not going down.
This city, unfortunately, has had a couple seasons, not that recently, but with the Rockets, where they've been the worst team in basketball or near.
We could have been.
Imagine going into the final game of the regular season knowing if we don't win this game, we become a G League team. That's what it's like for them over there. All right, let's go to Matt. Matt, what have you learned?
I learned to never hire Fernando Tatis Jr. to review contracts before you sign them.
There we go. Gave up 10% of his future earnings for a $2 million bump up front.
Yep.
Because he wanted to, that's what happens when you want to flex jewelry in a car.
That two cost him 34. That's bad math.
Probably, I don't think he'll get a contract after that. But yeah, $34 million. Yeah.
Well, not since his OPS is 600. His slugging is under 300.
He hasn't hit a home run.
Zero homers. His slugging is under 300.
A 14-year contract. When will y'all ever learn?
Yeah.
When will you teams ever learn? That's the dumbest.
I honestly thought it was a bad. That was a bad deal for Tatis.
You thought it was for him. It's not. It's a great deal for him. He's $340 million. He's locked in for the rest of his life.
It's only $14 a year.
You mean after his...
Well, no. $14 a year. $340 over 14 years. He's 23, 24 a year. It's just not a good deal.
$14 million a year. I mean, no, it's not 14.
I'm sorry, 24.
That's a great deal. What are you talking about? $24 million a year? He's 340. He's not 340.
Well, if he lost continues 34 million. To hit like this,
but yes. He's locked in. He and his kids are set for the rest of his life. He didn't have to perform at all for the rest of his life.
Well, then you don't care about the 34 either. That's all.
No. He's good the rest of his life.
He'll be fine either way. It just hurts to lose 34 million.
It's 24-2 a year. 14 years, 24-2 a year.
Is it?
But when you're a superstar, which is what he was when he signed that deal, 24 is not a great deal.
Getting $340 million guaranteed, forget the $10 million. The 10%, that was already off the top. There's nothing you could do about it. Anytime you have a chance to lock in $34 million for the next 14,
in California.
Or $30 million for the
next 14
years.
Let's remember, in California, all of that.
John, his money's good. You don't want to play this game. He's going to make a ton of money. He's set for the rest of his life.
I just love, like, the California taxes are making us talk about the guy getting $340 million. Wow, man. Tough. I get what you're saying, though, John. He could have made more, except he stinks now, so maybe he's lucky. Let's go to La Raza. La Raza, what have you learned?
La Raza, amigo, Jimmy G, Lance, give us a salchicha.
Oh, I don't know. Hey, give me some of that salchicha.
Well, Jeremy, good morning. I'll make it sweet and quick, man. And by the way, yesterday I haven't given my tickets to Honduras and Argentina. It's pretty racist, man. It's messed up.
Are you the one that won it?
No, I'm the one that waited like 45 minutes to call in, and I never gave it away.
Oh, yeah.
Second round. Well, we're going to give away tickets this week. On my show today and on this show tomorrow. We're giving away Honduras, Argentina tickets. Listen.
You know I'm from Honduras, right?
I thought you were from a different place. I'm not sure where you're from, actually.
I am from that different place, but that's what I thought.
Well, Sam, John,
according to John,
I don't put you anywhere.
Yeah. So what I learned this weekend is that not all former celebrities / former athletes are going to have a great fight in the combat world. Just ask Ray J and Michael Beasley. Yeah.
Oh,
and God. Johnny took care of Bob Maneri.
Johnny
won. He took care of Maneri.
Who is Maneri?
He's the dude
The Buffalo Wild Wings.
Became famous, and then they put him on Buffalo Wild
Wings
commercials.
That butt right there is full of... Like, he sounds like a real broadcaster, and then he says crazy stuff.
Why did they fight?
Because they both need money.
Yeah, it's a money grab.
Why do any of those? Johnny had a little bit of a gut. Like, he didn't look. He's nowhere near being...
Yeah, Maneri had a moment where he was the voice of, like, sports online, where he would just talk over games, and that made him famous, and then he became the Buffalo Wild Wings guy.
Yeah.
And what's he up to since? Go fight Johnny for money.
I guess. I was like, why is Johnny fighting this guy? They got beef? What happened?
No, Johnny wants cash, and maybe he'll turn it into another fight. That's what this is. It's all about...
But these were MMA fights.
Yes.
Johnny Manziel's out there doing low leg kicks on Bob Maneri. It's one of the weird...
That's how you break a leg.
Yeah, it was sad.
It was terrible.
Well, what's Johnny going to do to stay in the public eye? If it's not doing something that gets him arrested, it's this.
Yeah. Oh, no, this is going to be... You're going to see this a lot.
This is better.
You're actually going to see this a lot more.
Yeah. We got a couple more before we wrap it up. Way behind. Let's get to Mito. Mito, what have you learned?
Hey,
Mito.
Hey, I'm going to have to make a choice because I'm Salvadorian, so either me or La Raza to get those Honduras tickets.
Well, keep listening.
Let's go. I mean, it's on. Why don't you two arm wrestle for it?
I can trade you wrestling tickets for the world tickets. So, you know, y'all figure that out. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go. I don't think La Raza wants that smoke.
La Raza versus Mito in a wrestling match?
Yeah.
I'll pay for that. I'll pay.
There you go. I learned this weekend that if the Knicks are going this crazy in the first couple of rounds, I can't imagine how wild they're going to get if they win the championship. I kind of want to see that.
I know. Have you seen the street? They're famous now, John, for the street interviews. Have you seen them where they're screaming at James Harden?
Yes, it's, yes.
The
yes.
street interviews are hilarious to me.
Yeah.
A couple more before we get done here. Let's go to Tom. Tom, what have you learned?
Morning, gentlemen. I learned when you go to a family member's high school graduation, that's when the family decides to start telling you you need to get married.
Now, if family event, they look at you, still see you're still single. The questions will be asked. Trust me, I'm aware. every time I go back, someone's going to ask. Let's get to Sean before we wrap it up. Sean, what have you learned?
Hey, I learned that even though you're yoked to the gills, you can still lose a swimming tournament against the normies.
Yeah, that's the enhanced games were over the weekend.
Oh, I forgot. That was in Vegas, right?
Yeah, people say, hey, you want to take stuff? Come on. These are the games for you. And you still lose to people who are clean. So it happened. I did not know we were going to get to a point where we were just, you know what? You guys want to take anything you want to participate? We're good here. And let's see what happens. Some of the people in the swimsuits look ridiculous. He just looks like a bodybuilder in a swimsuit. So what are you doing?
Swimming?
Yes.
Swimming?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you're on the juice. Let's see what you got. And I didn't watch a lot of it. I saw a clip or two. It's as silly as it seems, honestly.
If there's one thing a juicer can't do, all right?
Well, this guy he was an actual swimmer before, like a clean one, because that's what you have to be. And then he decided to take juice or whatever he was taking, and then he participated in the enhanced games.
The enhanced games.
Yes.
All right. And he got his ass kicked?
Oh, he didn't win, I don't think.
All right. Well done, people. You showed up. Apologize that it was late, but it is Tuesday after all. So what did you learn this weekend? One sentence, another huge success. 713-780-3776. Anything else that you want to get off your chest, you're more than welcome. We are here for you. 713-780-3776.
John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Nice job, everybody. 737-803-776 is the number. Kelce Football put out the top 10 players in the NFL that have the most to prove this year. Number one.
I mean, CJ's up there, I know.
CJ.
Yeah.
When last he left us, he looked awful. He's got a contract coming up. He's got arguably the best defense in the league coming back. And, you know, he makes the playoffs every year and never gets past the divisional round.
Okay.
He is number one, I think, by a long shot.
Uh-huh.
Number two, they have Caleb Williams, who, I mean, he's got to have, you know, this is a verified year for him because he proved he could play last year under Ben Johnson.
Yeah, it's a little different than CJ's.
Yeah.
Something to prove. Yeah.
No, he's got a, you know what, verification that he is now considered one of the top quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. And.
Well, yeah,
I saw, and it is arguable with his age, experience with Ben Johnson. It was Pro Football Talk. I think Chris Sims, if he gets Ben Johnson, I'll take him number one, you know, over all the quarterbacks because of age and the way he played last year. He's obviously got a bullet. He's good. He's a good player. So he's got to prove that he is that guy. Jalen Hurts is third on their list. Patrick Mahomes. You know what? Patrick Mahomes does have something to prove this year. Not that Patrick Mahomes isn't going to make a Hall of Fame if he doesn't win another football game, but Patrick Mahomes had an off year. The last 2 years haven't been great for him.
This is really a quarterback. I mean, Lamar Jackson is in there. I think Joe Burrow is in there, obviously. Like, this is pretty much just a quarterback one. If you did one separate from quarterbacks, it would look a little different.
Well, the number one that has something to prove this year, non-quarterback, according to them, is Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. So the other thing you're going for is guys who have not lived up to the draft type. Yeah.
Right. Well, and I mean, but he still doesn't have a quarterback to throw to. I mean, to, you know, I think Kyler.
Like Broderick Jones, tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, I could come up with some other ones too, if we did a non-quarterback one, but quarterbacks are the easiest ones.
Yeah. X factors as well. Kind of a big deal. Like CJ is the biggest X factor for the Texans.
Oh, without question. Good CJ Stroud 2026, you might be, I don't want to say one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl, but maybe.
If he plays well.
A good CJ? I'm not saying an average CJ. I'm saying a good CJ makes them one of the favorites.
Absolutely.
The line maker doesn't have it that way because he's not, the line makers don't expect a good CJ.
Right. I mean, if CJ plays well, holy crap. This is going to be a great, this is going to be a fun year if CJ plays well. Obviously, there's a lot of quarterbacks in the X factor as well, but, you know, there is Marvin Harrison Jr. I guess Kyler Murray would be the Vikings, but you know what? Justin Jefferson is one as well. Is he, you know, he's got to, Justin Jefferson has to, he did a lot of talking about, I mean, I feel bad for JJ.
Yeah, but don't think he's got, I mean, he's proven himself.
Yeah, he's proven himself, but he needs a little bit of a bounce back.
Yeah, he needs to play. I think a lot of that is just quarterback related, though. I doubt much of that is him at all. I'd say Kyle Pitts. Because Kyle Pitts has to prove – he had some catches last year.
Oh, my God. He had the biggest game of the year. I was against him in fantasy football.
Yeah, he had a huge game. Yeah, but Kyle Pitts actually had some stats for the first time in forever. And now you have to see if it's I think he's in his fifth-year option this year. So, I mean, there's a few different guys. For the Texans, it's CJ. And aside from CJ, I mean, I think it's the free agents. Honestly, it's guys like Braden Smith and Wyatt Teller. I don't know that those two guys specifically. I don't know that there's anyone. Well, Ursary, but that's not really. Ursary's still in a learning process. There's what is this called? Something to prove? No.
X Factor.
No. Oh, what was the other one right before X Factor?
Most approved. Something to prove.
Yeah, Ursary's just still in the process. So I'm not going to put him in there. X Factor for the Texans. It's just CJ. It's just CJ.
Yeah.
Now, under the radar X factor, to me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say it. No one wants me to say it, but I'm going to say it. Jalen Noel.
Do you think so? I mean, or is that?
The greatest receiver who's never hardly played for the Houston Texans ever that the fans love. I call him an X factor jokingly, but not jokingly, because he's a good returner, punt and kick. And if you win the third phase, first phase, offense, defense are the two phases, but third phase is special teams. That's the secret sauce. When you're really good on special teams, that's why Bill Belichick tried to make and John Harbaugh, like, there's teams who understand if you can win that third phase, it's a huge advantage. And he's a really good returner as a punt returner and kick returner. If you get some production from the slot from him as well, you know, the ability to maybe use that speed vertically, how about... I'm not going to say Tank Dell would be on the something to prove list, not X factor probably. For Tank, this is a big year just to show, hey, I physically can play football. Because if he didn't show that, he's looking at a minimum contract next year from somebody.
This is a big year for Tank. He does absolutely have something to prove that he can play. That he can still play in the league after all the time missed. It's absolutely a huge year. You think he's more of an X factor?
No.
If Tank plays, listen, do you expect Jalen Noel to have a bigger year than Tank Dell?
Yes. Hmm. Yeah, and I don't have a lot of confidence in Tank coming back and staying healthy throughout. I just haven't seen it as a pro, so I don't really have a lot of faith that coming off. And I hope I'm wrong. I'm just saying the odds are against him with the type of injury he had. Hey, he looks great in the Footwork King videos or whatever, but let's see how he does at 150-some-odd pounds taking the NFL beating. How does the leg hold up? Where is his speed at, his quickness at? It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot for Tank to come back from. And I'll just be very happy and pleasantly surprised if he comes back and looks like Tank Dell from, you know, 23 and even to a lesser extent 24. I'd love that. I'd love that for Tank. I hope that does happen, but...
But you are expecting more from Jalen Noah.
I think, well, I know, number one, I'm giving him the benefit of playing on special teams, which is a big deal. Look how many punt returns and kick returns he's going to get. I mean, John, kick returns now, teams don't want to kick it out of the end zone. They don't want to kick it into the end zone. So Jalen Noah is going to get a lot of returns. And that's something Tank is not going to get. So that's one of the reasons I would put him ahead as an X factor, ahead of Tank. Plus, I don't know where Tank is physically. Jalen Noel is a 4.29 40 player, 4.340. So, yeah, I'll go Jalen Noel, even though Tank is a more accomplished receiver, without question.
And let's not forget, I mean, CJ cried for him. So
yeah, he did. He did
loves
him
some Tank now. Now,
I mean, maybe David Montgomery is who we need to be talking about for X Factor, too. CJ's the ultimate X Factor. But David Montgomery... Yeah. His ability to lead. But can you say Montgomery ahead of the offensive line? It's all one thing together, right?
Right.
Foster Moreau could end up being really important. Mm. Believe it or not, because he's a blocker.
Well, but...
I'm just saying as a wide tight end. Wait, didn't they just sign... Did they sign Jonnu Smith too? Did I see that?
Yeah. Yes.
Holy crap. What a great... We didn't even talk about that because it happened over the weekend, I think. No, did they sign him? No, I don't think they didn't sign him. I think Houston Stresson's put him in a jersey. They released him. So they didn't. No. It was Houston Stresson's put him in a jersey. I think. I don't think they didn't. Yeah, I don't think they signed him. I saw that just in passing.
They don't need any more tight ends. They really don't.
No, but I mean, Stover, you just have Marlon Klein. I mean, think about this, though. Marlon Klein's a rookie who's still a developmental type of tight end. You got your pass catcher in Dalton Schultz. Jonnu is more of a pass catcher, but he can actually block a little bit. Jonnu gives you a chance to have two pass catchers out there in 12 personnel, where Foster Moreau is a run blocker only. Marlon Klein is still Cade Stover's got to prove he can be healthy. I don't think Jonnu's coming to the Texans, but I wouldn't mind it if they went there.
How much is Marlon Klein has to play, right? You draft in the second round. He's got to play.
I don't think he has to play. He can play some. Who would I cut? I mean, yeah,
I guess you're cutting Brevin Jordan. He's the Jonnu Smith type. Well,
yeah, but even if you cut Brevin Jordan, you still had Stover, Marlon Klein, yeah. Dalton Schultz, and Foster Moreau.
You're drafting a second-rounder not to play?
And then Stover would be the fifth. You'd almost have to...
Well, Stover's playing fullback now.
Yeah, but it's still... They don't run a true 21, so I don't see him. I mean, they can call him fullback if they want. They don't really run a fullback.
I mean, he's going to be, I guess, lined
He's offset. He's still a fullback. I mean, he's still a tight end. Right. They'll probably keep four of those guys. So one of those guys would be gone. It'd either have to be Moreau after signing a one-year deal, because my guess is his contract's not a real heavy contract. And you could get away from it if you wanted to. But, yeah, I don't know. But Jonnu is a better player than Cade Stover or Foster Moreau. Nah, he signed. Let's see how much of this is guaranteed.
It's $3 million.
It's guaranteed. Yeah, you could get away from that if you wanted.
Just spend Cal's money. It's just Cal's money.
Yeah.
Who cares?
You don't care about Cal's $3
million? Yeah, Cal's just throwing away $3
Kerry
million.
Wants to take over the team.
Just throwing away $3 million.
Yeah, you're just throwing away $3
million. Well, then we'll get rid of Cade Stover then. Bye, Cade. You're always hurt.
Jonnu Smith was not good last year.
Was he not good?
The Steeler fans weren't thrilled with him.
Well, yeah, some of that's probably Aaron Rodgers.
I'm sure it was, but he, after making the trade and giving him money, because the Dolphins weren't going to give it to him, so he wanted more, so they traded him. He caught 38 passes at 5.8 yards per catch.
You know, if you cut Cade Stover, you end up saving about 860,000.
Oof.
So you actually save money if you cut Cade Stover. Just throwing that out there.
Thank you. Cade's like,
get out of here, Cade.
Nice.
His cap hit is 1.25. Dead cap is only 369. So the savings there is, you know, close to 900,000 actually. So I wouldn't rule out Johnny Smith, but if Johnny's not very good, if he's just more name than game, then yeah. And the Texans are watching tape. I haven't watched tape on Johnny, so I don't know if he. I'm just going by what Dell just said. If he's not very good and the Texans don't see it on tape, he won't be.
So he had his best year under Mike McDaniel, which led to him wanting more money. The Dolphins said, "Nah, we're not giving you more money." So you do the thing. He became a Steeler, and they gave him more money than the Dolphins would have, and he wound up making like $12 million last year. And as I said, caught 38 passes for less than 6 yards per catch. And they're like, enough. We made a mistake here. Bye.
Bye. Bye, Bias. So,
well, I don't know if he called him. I don't know if they called him that.
They didn't do that to him.
Bitch!
Do you think? Who's their GM?
It's Omar Khan.
Do you think Omar Khan?
No, he doesn't talk that way.
Do you think Omar Khan Omar's said to nice Janu person. When he made the call, hey, Janu, we're going to part ways?
You bitch.
No, I don't think that's not how Omar talks.
That's what John is
that's
saying.
Not the way Omar talks. Omar's a nice so, person.
Mike, that's Stephen A.
Mike McCarthy called him in and said, get out of here.
You that, bitch.
No, this is just not the way this happened. I can't believe that.
So that's Stephen A. calling him, you Stephen A. and Jaylen Brown. Apparently, Jaylen Brown wants to have a debate, a political debate with Stephen A.
This is exactly what Stephen A. wants. I don't want to have my basketball player, my future Rocket, and my Stephen A. Smith debating politics. What are we doing?
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
What a quick clown. This is enough of this clownish stuff, man.
You know, Stephen A. went with the whole, I know things about you that you don't want out there.
Yeah, he did make the very thinly veiled threat that he was going to expose.
Hey, you better watch yourself. I know things about you that you wouldn't want me to report.
How is this the media now?
I don't know.
This has really gotten sad. This has become, sports has become so gossipy and so junior high.
I'm
going to
threaten
high
you
school.
With
yeah.
secrets being revealed.
All right.
What does Jason Tatum really think of you? Do you want me to find out and give that to the people?
Jason's like, hey.
What do you mean? what do I really think of this? What are you bringing me in here for?
That phone call better have been real quick from Jason Tatum to Jalen Green. Like, Stephen A's just talking. You don't want to let that one just linger like Kevin Durant did with the leaked DMs.
That's so weak, though.
It is.
That's,
the whole thing is so
weak. I got something on you.
I'm going to release.
He didn't think, and Nick Wright called him out for it and for doing exactly what we're talking about. And he goes, look, I know things about you, too. You better, I know who you hang out with. You better watch it.
Wait, Nick Wright said that about Stephen A.?
No, Nick Wright called out Stephen A. for the mob boss type of, hey, right. I know things
but
about you.
But then Nick said that about Stephen
no,
A.?
No, Nick,
I know
no, Nick Wright called him out. Then Stephen A. responded with, hey, I know your people. I know things about you. You may not want out.
My God. What is it? What is Stephen A. is really out of control.
Out of control. All right, let's break. Lance, who are you going to give the tickets to, Mito or La Raza?
Well, I didn't say. Are you talking about for these FIFA World Cup tickets? Oh, no. Yeah, for the FIFA World Cup. I'm not giving any of them.
We're going to do that tomorrow.
Yeah, these are different tickets.
It's going to be open to other people. Yeah.
These are different tickets. If you want to win the FIFA World Cup tickets, this is how you're going to do it. You're going to do it through the Michelob Ultra Soccer Shootout. Here are the four locations on Friday. And it goes from 5 to 8 p.m. Okay? This is a chance for you to win two tickets to a Houston-based FIFA World Cup. You're going to be from 5 to 8 p.m. at four different locations around the Houston area. Vita Mariscos in Cyprus, Bombshells in Stafford, Vita Garden in Midtown, and Conejo Malo downtown. Those are the four locations on Friday. Let me throw Saturdays at you real quick. I've got 11 to 2 p.m. at all of these locations. McIntyre's in the Heights, Phoenix on Westheimer in Montrose, Velvet Oak Tavern, Upper Kirby, Sawyer Park Ice House in Spring, Kirby Ice House in the Heights. And then finally, from 4 to 7, Molly's Pub in the Woodlands. These are all locations where you can come participate in the shootout. You have a chance to play for, a chance to witness history, because Superior is worth playing for. Get your butt over there and have a chance to win in the shootout game and get tickets to a World Cup event. Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 26.
Enjoy responsibly. 2026 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. No purchase necessary. Open U.S. residents, excluding California and Washington residents. 21 plus. Begins on 2-1-26 and ends on 5-31-26. See official rules at www.michelobultra.com/rules for prizes and details. Message and data rates may apply. Void where...
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Astros no-hitter. We haven't talked Astros baseball in a while. Astros with four straight wins. They've won five of their last six. They've given up 12 runs over these last six games. Now we'll see what happens over the next couple. Texas is playing bad baseball. So are the Cubs. The Cubs are just not good right now. So for the Astros to go in there, they took advantage, though. And the Astros played really well. The Astros just played good baseball. They pitched well. They played really good in the field. They came up with clutch hitting, power hitting. Christian Walker was amazing in Wrigley Field. That was awesome. Nick Allen is actually hitting and doing a nut. If you look at his statistics versus Mauricio Dubon, actually Nick Allen has a bit of an advantage, but it's his sample size is really short. But you got another great outing from Arrigetti. You got Tang, who was great. MI wasn't great, but he didn't give up any runs or hits, but he sure did get saved. I mean,
he's not accurate.
He wasn't great.
I've got it figured out. He's thrown across his body. If I could just have 2 weeks to work with him, I think I could get him fixed.
Yeah, but I think you could. I mean, if the Astros are thinking about it,
yeah.
But they're in. You could drive up though.
Oh, my dad has a new enemy. It's Jim Miller.
Who?
Jim Miller. Pitching coach. My dad's new enemy is it's no longer Jake. He's already he feels like he's vanquished Jake Myers, who my dad feels like he just looks dumb in his helmet and just has a dumb look on his face when he's walking around. He thinks it's so funny he gets hurt walking in the outfield.
I know. Well,
he didn't think it's funny.
It just fits Jake.
And he's not like an angry, he's just like, yeah, just looks like a
I know how your dad feels.
He didn't get hurt walking in the outfield. He was trying to go back out, recover from an injury, and he couldn't.
And he wasn't ready.
How did he get the initial injury?
Playing hard baseball.
Yeah.
Running? I commiserate with your dad because I felt the same way about Sam Ehlinger. He just didn't look like he fit his uniform.
Yeah, some guys just have like, that look. For whatever reason, my dad, look, I got a problem with how Jake plays over the course. Like, no one's ever lasted with the team longer and been less average than Jake Myers. I don't know how, but he's gone the full 6 years. He's on the full 6 year plan. He just thinks he's just got kind of a, you know, not smart look on his face all the time. Like he's always confused. And now Jim Miller, he doesn't like the way Jim Miller walks to the mound. Yeah, I said, boy, can you imagine you seeing Jim Miller and Jake Myers walking? You know, walking down the street together, oh, your head would explode.
Well, Jim Miller, maybe rightfully so, was taking some arrows from us and everyone else. But now, well, when we compare it to what Murphy was up to in Pittsburgh, but now.
You're doing this without, listen.
So far.
Kiway has 11 straight innings of shutout baseball.
Well, that's great. They still have the worst pitching staff in baseball. Statistically, but, yeah, like it's not. Let's not go bleeping each other's bleeps too soon.
Yeah, but look at how, listen, they're improving greatly.
Well, they had nowhere to go but up.
Well, I get that.
ERA
but...
of 5.7.
And it's Josh. You got me saying Jim like you. It's Miller.
Josh Miller, yeah. I said Jim. Jim Miller's the former quarterback for
Chicago,
the Bears.
Yeah.
And Jim Druckenmiller was wasted.
I'm glad he's not the pitching coach. But
did he? I mean, Josh, did he mimic his name, John?
Josh is getting a lot of accolades for his team becoming not horrific as a pitcher. I mean, I don't want to
pitch well over the last
10 games.
Yeah,
good. That's good.
I mean, because they were so bad, it's not the numbers in totality doesn't look great, but
we're over 50.
They're pitching better.
Yeah, so 20
is much better. 20%
of the season has been good. 80% has been bad.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm just giving actual facts. And analytically speaking, they've got a really good staff.
I guess the question for me, for both of you guys,
I just can't Atkins.
How long does Atkinson do? Well, great. Look what happened to him.
Analytically, they're not good, though.
No,
so what would have to happen for this team for us to stop referencing the first month plus and a half? Like, how long does this have to
get
go?
Get to 500.
Right, because we're going to keep saying, well, this and that, and they were bad early. But getting to 500 means... All right, we start fresh.
Getting to 500 will turn that around.
All right.
Yep.
I would agree.
Holy crap. You got your hero, Alexander, today against Leiter.
You damn right.
Burrows against DeGrom. And then Arrighetti against Eovaldi. That's some good pitching matchups there. When you come back, you got Milwaukee, Mizorowski on Sunday.
Woo!
Against Imai.
What a shootout that's going to be.
Imai against Mizorowski.
Who's a better pitcher, Mizorowski or Skeens? I brought this up on earlier in the year, and people almost started vomiting. They were so mad at me. They were so angry. And if you look at the numbers, baby, it's dead even. And that's not to say one is – they're both incredible. I mean, Jacob Mizorowski is basically Randy – he's basically Randy Johnson – but he throws right-handed. He's 6'7". I don't know if people realize he's 6'7", 201, which is kind of like Randy's build. And he just comes from the right side. Paul Skeens is like, I don't know, a young Roger, a young Verlander, a young, I don't know. You can take any number. You know, he's 6'6", 260. Like, he's a monster. So, I don't, maybe, this may be, we could be looking at two of the greatest young pitchers we'll ever see at the same time. It could be like Seaver. You know what? It could be like Seaver and Nolan Ryan, John. Back in, I wasn't born, and then I was super young whenever they were first kicking it off. But they're considered with the Mets team, that they came up with the Mets team. Those two pitchers, of course, Tom Seaver was mostly with the Reds, his best stuff, and then Nolan Ryan was bumping around from the Angels to the Astros and to the, but we know there were, these are two really all time great pitchers. Mizorowski's in his second year of baseball. He's 5-2 with a 1.83 ERA. Last year he had a 4.36 ERA. His WHIP last year was a 1.24. His WHIP this year, he's 24 years old. His WHIP this year is 0.83. Last year he had 66 total innings pitched with 87 strikeouts. This year, he's got 64 innings pitched with 100 strikeouts already. His walks are down from 31 to 19. So a strikeout to walk is at 5.3 this year. His hits allowed, last year, 51 hits in 66 innings. It's 34 hits in 64 innings right now. And I don't see his home runs here. When you look at Skeens, obviously Skeens is now, his ERA is a 3.0 right now because he just recently kind of imploded a little bit, but his WHIP is still 0.82. His hits to his innings pitched to strikeout, John, is nowhere near Mizorowski. He's 60 innings pitch, only 65 strikeouts, but just 9 walks. He's got a 7.2 strikeout to walk ratio, which is incredible. But Mizorowski technically has him beat in terms of total numbers this year. But the big story is these two guys, one 6'7", the other 6'6", 260, are Skeens is 23, Mizorowski is 24. We could have two just
I hear what you're saying about great listen, pitchers. They may be great, great pitchers. I don't know you can compare them to that era because this is the lowest batting average era ever.
Right.
I mean, they're just – the hitters just are – it's just such a different game.
But it's
right
a home
now.
Run era.
It's a – yeah. It's a
launch angle era.
It's what it is. And, you know, the late 90s was launch era plus average.
Well, it was steroids.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It was a steroid.
And Roger, and you know what? And this just in, Pedro Martinez, you want to look at, yeah. I'll leave Roger out of this conversation, but Pedro Martinez and Greg Maddux?
Yeah. In that era?
In the steroid era?
Yeah.
They were that good? That's pretty sick. But these guys are sick because they're also power pitchers. And they're really fun to watch. I mean, Mizorowski threw 5,400-mile-an-hour pitches yesterday. Or was it day before? No, it was yesterday. 54, and we got to see. But, well, we don't have to see him. He's got to face the Astros now. And Houston is considered one of the hottest cities right now in the country when it comes to sports. We've
it
got
is.
Potentially Jaylen Brown.
Last time you did this really sucked.
Well, but this time I mean it. We just had another no-hitter, another one. How many combined no-hitter? We had the Yankees combined no-hitter. We had the Verlander combined no-hitter. We had the World Series combined no-hitter. We had this combined. We've had like four combined no-hitters for the Astros since we've been doing the radio. We might have had all. We might have had all five since we've been doing radio.
Maybe. The World Series, we had the Yankees, right. I mean, I think maybe.
That was early. That was early on. You were still, I think you may have still been doing Sports Night Live, but maybe not. Maybe you weren't, actually. No, I don't think you were. Here, the Astros no-hitters. There's Ronel Blanco had one. Oh, my God, I forgot Ronel Blanco had a no-hitter in 2024. So you had the no-hitter yesterday. You had Ronel Blanco had one against the Blue Jays April 1st. You had Fromber got one against the Cleveland Guardians in 23.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
November 2nd, you had Javier Abreu. You had the World Series no-hitter with five different pitchers. Then you had the Javier. Oh, that's right. Javier was part of one in earlier that year, too. Javier, Hector Neris, Ryan Presley against the New York Yankees. So Javier was a starter for two different no-hitters in 22. I remember when Christian Javier was good.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had Verlander got one clean in September 1st of 2019. Then you had the Rat Mike Fiers. Oh, okay. So I thought Verlander was part of a combination no hitter, but he wasn't. He was had his own no hitter. Then you had Mike Fiers.
Against Toronto?
Yeah, against Toronto.
Yep.
You had Mike Fiers versus the Dodgers in 15. You had Roy Oswalt, Pete Monroe, Kirk Sarlos. That was 2003.
That was the Yankees.
Brad Lidge, Octavio Dezel, Billy Wagner. Yeah, you had six pitchers. Then before that, you had Daryl Kyle, so we were not on the radio then.
No.
So since we've been on the radio, we have eight no-hitters to our credit.
That's us.
That's under our ticket. So John and I have eight no-hitters
right now. Eight no-hitters. That's why we're Hall of Famers, though.
It helps. It certainly helps.
Yep.
Now, before that, now look at it. The Astros have been just no-hitting machines. The 2003, the six combined pitcher, John, you had to go back 10 years to Daryl Kyle in 93 before you had one. Then you go back 7 years to Nolan Ryan in 86, then 3 years to Nolan Ryan in 83, and then you go Ken Forsh, 79, Larry Durker, 76, Don Wilson, Not a Bart.
We were not on the air for Don Wilson.
We're not for the air for Don Wilson.
No.
Yeah, nope. The Astros. That's all they do is get no-hitters.
That's what we do.
Sorry.
That's what we do. 18 now. All right, 713-780-3776. You know what Kent Jones does? Kent Jones is, how about this, 30 years as a discount mortgage lender. He basically does it himself. So all of these huge, big mortgage companies that put their names on golf tournaments and all this other stuff, they just, you know what they're doing? They're making a lot of money. I don't want to say Kent Jones doesn't make money. Kent Jones obviously has been doing this for 30 years. But Kent Jones saves more money than any of the – he cares more. He pays more attention. He is going to make sure that you get the best loan that you possibly can. He will ask you the questions. He will put time and energy into you. He limits the number of clients that he has at one time so that he can make sure that he puts the amount of time that he needs to into each and every client. So – If you're in the market for a new home, I don't care if you've bought five homes. Kent Jones will do it better. Okay? Well, I got this. No. Kent Jones will do it better than you do. Listen, brokers in other, you know, like the ticket business, they're just a middleman. Kent Jones is the guy who's actually out there doing work. Okay, Kent Jones is finding the title company. Kent Jones is he'll find you a real estate agent that who might even kick back you some of the money. Kent Jones is doing all the things that you don't know about. You do not know the mortgage game like Kent Jones does. 30 years experience, Better Business Bureau, A+. Kent Jones is the way to go if you're going to buy a home. 713-520-5626, 713-520-LOAN or 975loans.com. Tell Kent you heard it right here.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 2482473. Jake and Jones, NMLS number 356118, Equal Housing.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.